Now, let's think about the Sermon on the Mount for just a minute. What if Jesus had had to get permission for what to say or to say anything at all? What if Jesus had to get permission from a committee at your church to give this sermon or what to include in it? You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. This is episode 232. And today we're talking about the fact that you don't need someone else's permission to do what God has called you to do. You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I'm James Early, your host, and this is the place to be to rediscover the original Christianity of Jesus. Each week, we talk about how Jesus wanted us to think and act and pray and live our daily lives. And we dig down into the mindset of Jesus to discover how we can think and act like he did. The goal is to experience more of Jesus' promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey there, and welcome again to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. As always, I am so grateful that you've tuned in to listen today. Have you ever felt that God has called you to do something with your life, but you just weren't sure you could accomplish it? And so you asked your close friends or a family member you could really trust for their input. Well, that's a pretty good idea, actually. When you open your heart to someone you trust and who will understand the call God has put on your life, it can be an incredible support. But unfortunately, what sometimes happens is we think we have to get someone else's approval or permission to do what God has called us to do. Now, there are certainly times when you need to include people close to you with what God has put in your heart to do. If you feel God calling you to go on a mission trip, start a nonprofit foundation to help a particular segment of society, or maybe start your own or get involved in your church's ministry, you probably need to include and involve the people you're close with in the process because your decision will affect them. And that's good. When I felt called to start the Bible Speaks to You podcast, I talked to my wife and shared what God had put on my heart. She was so supportive, for which I was and still am incredibly grateful. But I knew I needed to do it. I did not ask her for permission. I asked for her support. And when she has felt God leading her to do something, we talk about it, of course, but I'm in a role to be supportive. When God has given her something to do, that's all the permission she needs. She doesn't need my permission to do and be what God has appointed for her. I am so grateful for this mutual understanding in our marriage because we both have a strong sense of purpose, and we keep each other informed as God gives us additional things to do. But over the years, I have occasionally met folks who have a very strong sense of purpose. They sincerely believe God has called them to a particular task or mission, but they don't feel they can do it unless they get approval and permission from their family, or maybe the folks at church. Now, don't get me wrong, it's very encouraging and supportive to have people close to you whom you trust enough to share with them what God has put on your heart. But sometimes even close friends and family don't understand why on earth you would want to do what God is calling you to do. They think you're not being practical, that you've lost your common sense, or worse, they think you're crazy. But they're only seeing you from their limited perspective and don't see the depths of your desire to do whatever God has put on your heart. And they haven't heard God's voice calling you, which you have heard. There are so many examples in the Bible of God calling people to do certain things who didn't wait around for anyone's permission to get down to business. I'm thinking especially of young David when he went to take food to his three oldest brothers who were fighting in King Saul's army against the Philistines. While he was there, Goliath the giant from Gath openly challenged the Israelite army, who were all terrified of him. Well, as it turned out, David thought he was just on an errand to deliver food to his brothers and give a gift to their officers, but a great stirring took place in his heart when he heard Goliath defy and taunt King Saul's army. David wondered out loud who would fight Goliath, and his words were reported to King Saul. Saul called for him, and David told the king that he would go fight the giant. This is 1 Samuel 17:32. And you can read this whole story in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant," referring to himself, "will go and fight him." It wasn't the pride of youth that impelled David to fight Goliath. He felt called by God, and even explained to Saul how God had prepared him for this very task. He had killed, with his soon-to-be-famous sling, a lion and a bear when they tried to attack his sheep. David knew God would help him in his confrontation with Goliath and told this to Saul. Well, here's the point I want to make. David was so sure of what God had called him to do, he didn't run home to ask his father Jesse for permission if he could do it. Now, just to put this in context, David is most likely a teenager at this time. You had to be 20 years old to fight in the army. That comes from Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. God told Moses and Aaron to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more and able to serve in the army. David did not ask permission from his three oldest brothers either, who were soldiers there in the army. In fact, his oldest brother, Eliab, said some pretty derogatory things about his youngest brother, even before he said he would fight Goliath. And David didn't really ask Saul for permission either. It was more that he told Saul what he was going to do and why he was so certain God would help him succeed. Saul gave his consent, you could say, but the more I read this story, I get the idea David probably would have gone ahead with his plan regardless of what the king said. Then when David went to meet Goliath, he acknowledged that God, who had called him to this moment, would help him. This is 1 Samuel 17:45 and 46. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." There's a good lesson for us. When God calls you to do something, it's really important to acknowledge God is there to help you do whatever He has called you to do. And just as with David, God will prepare you or has already prepared you for what He's calling you to do. There are so many more examples in the Old Testament of people God calls to a particular mission, but I want to jump right to the New Testament and look at Jesus and how He approached His ministry. Jesus is the supreme example for us in anything and everything we do, especially the way we respond to God's call on our lives. Just think of how Jesus approached his purpose as the Messiah. He didn't ask anyone for permission to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He just started doing it when God told him to. He didn't ask anyone's permission to travel around the countryside teaching in various synagogues. He just did it. He didn't ask permission to heal people. He just did it, even on the Sabbath. Can you picture Jesus looking over at a group of Pharisees, asking if it were okay for him to heal on the Sabbath, only planning to do it if they gave their permission? Of course not. He didn't ask permission because he didn't need permission. He had his marching orders directly from God. And you know what the Pharisees' response would have been if Jesus had asked their permission to forgive the lame man's sins. They didn't approve even after he did forgive the man. Now think about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He didn't get permission or approval from a committee at a local synagogue or from the Sanhedrin for what to say or not say. He said what God told him to say. Now, if you've been listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast for a while, you know exactly what Bible verse I'm going to mention right now. I quote this all the time because it's so important for us if we really want to follow Jesus' example. This is John 12, 49 and 50. Jesus says, "I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." I guess you could say the only one Jesus got permission from was God. And that's the way it should be for us as well. Now, let's think about the Sermon on the Mount for just a minute. What if Jesus had to get permission for what to say or to say anything at all? What if Jesus had to get permission from a committee at your church to give this sermon or what to include in it? Can't you just see such a committee arguing over what to include or not include, how to say it, how to change the order, or what else should be added? Now, I realize this is kind of an extreme example. Jesus was Jesus, and as I said, he only said what God told him to. He didn't need permission or approval from anyone. But if you were going to deliver a sermon or an important message for your church, there might be a time when you needed some editorial assistance in getting your message ready. But most pastors I know do not get approval for every sermon they preach. When God has called you to this sort of thing, he will provide the inspiration and the right things to say and help if you need it. But there's a big difference between asking for this sort of help and thinking you can't do something without human approval when God has called you and already given you permission, authority, and the ability to do something. Now, unfortunately, sometimes people can't always see the difference between God actually calling them to do something and them claiming or believing God has called them to do something that is really just their own idea. This kind of discernment takes a lot of humility to hear God's voice and not confuse it with your own. That's why we have this wonderful advice in 1 John 4, 1. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This applies to the ideas that come to you as well as what other people say. When someone is acting with a sense of purpose that they are fulfilling God's call on their life, it may very well be the case, and it's a beautiful thing when it is. But it could be just a cover-up for their own agenda. If what they try to convince you is their God-given purpose goes against your sense of what God is telling you, or they try to persuade you that your purpose is to support their purpose, remember this verse from 1 John. You have to follow what God is calling you to do, not what someone else is telling you that might be. Let's look at some more examples of people who didn't get permission to go forward with their God-given mission. Because it's one thing to look at Jesus' life and see how perfectly he set an example for us, but what about normal, everyday people in the Bible like you and me? I'm thinking about Peter on the day of Pentecost. When he and the other disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't ask permission to speak in tongues. It was just a natural result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts 2, verse 4. "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The key point here is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their authority to speak this way came directly from a divine source, not their own abilities. But what happened next? Did Peter take a quick vote among his fellow disciples? Did he poll the crowd or the religious authorities of the day to get permission to stand up and preach to the assembled crowd? Absolutely not. He was impelled by God to seize the opportunity God had provided to tell the thousands of Jews present about Jesus. This is really a good example for us. When you're inspired by God, guided by Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need permission from anyone, not your family, your friends, or a church committee, to do what God calls you to do. But again, the point here is that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just relying on his own human abilities. There were times earlier in Peter's life when, instead of speaking in tongues, his tongue got tangled, you could say, and words came out of his mouth that were not a good example of what God had called him to do. I'm thinking specifically when Peter denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion. Instead of the Holy Spirit, it was fear that moved his lips. When you're impelled by God to speak or act, you don't need someone's permission. Now, you might break a human protocol or tradition, but if God is telling you to speak, that is all the permission you need. But now that I've made that point so clearly, I do have to mention a time in the Bible when Paul, who was definitely called by God for a great purpose, did ask permission to speak. Paul had returned to Jerusalem after one of his missionary journeys, and after several days, someone accused him of teaching things contrary to the Jewish faith and stirred up the crowd, which then tried to kill Paul. A Roman commander arrested Paul as a troublemaker, but Paul asked permission to speak to the crowd. This is Acts 21, 39 and 40. Paul answered, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he spoke to them in Aramaic. There may be times when you definitely need to get permission to speak in a given situation or at a particular venue. Paul was aware of and being respectful of the situation he was in and realized that he needed to ask permission to speak, but he did not ask anyone's permission for what he was going to say. We too need to be respectful of whatever situation we find ourselves in. There may be a time when asking permission to say or do something in line with your calling is totally appropriate, and you can trust God to reveal that to you. Sometimes going along with certain procedures or protocols may open the door for you to say what God has put in your heart, whereas ignoring what may seem to be just human ways and means might prevent you from using an opportunity to do what God wants you to. The only way to know what to do is to be in communication with God. He'll tell you when and what to do and say, just as he did with Jesus. It's on us to listen to God's voice the way Jesus did. Now, you may have a very clear sense of God's purpose for you. Or you may be thinking, "Hey, James, I know I must have a purpose, but I don't really have any idea what it could be." Well, if that's the case, you might enjoy a very early episode of the podcast, episode 19, How to Discover Your Spiritual Purpose in Life. And I'll have that link in the show notes. Whether you have a beginning awareness or a very clear sense of God's purpose for you, I encourage you to ponder and cherish this purpose. It's certainly natural at times to ask for help and support along the way. Jesus did. But you don't need anyone's permission to do what God is calling you to do. Hey there, thank you so much for being here and listening today. and I would love to hear about what God has called you to do. Just go to the website, thebiblespeakstoyou.com, and click on the Contact tab. And if you're a new listener, I encourage you to sign up for my email notification list. Just click the Subscribe tab on the website, fill out the form, and you're all set. To read a full transcript of this episode, along with the Bible verses I quoted, you can find those on the show notes page at thebiblespeakstoyou.com/232. This is episode 232. Hey, thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate you listening. I hope you'll share this with a friend. And I want to thank you for all the ways that you've been supportive of the podcast. I'm James Early with the Bible Speaks to You podcast. Have a great week. Take care. And we'll see you next time. God bless.